My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so excited to be with you today in today's episode. Today, we are going to be talking about four different determinants, four different ways to determine or tell if the friendship that you either currently have or want to have or are currently building might be a temporary friendship. And I think this is really important because on this podcast, we talk a lot about building healthy relationships and how to tell when someone is good for us and when someone is not. One of the terms that I talk about a lot here is availability. And in fact, this episode is also inspired by the fact that the book, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, written by me, Sheena Lachey, will be coming out within the next couple of weeks. I'm so excited to get this into your hands. It is a literal guide for you to be able to determine who are the people who are healthy and safe and are the right people that you can trust and connect with and who are not. And there's 20 qualifiers of availability and 20 qualifiers of unavailability. And you will literally be able to check these things off along with detailed explanations around each of these qualifiers and how they affect you and what to look out for in special circumstances and all of that. And as I'm getting prepared to publish this book, like I said, we talk a lot about romantic partnerships here on this podcast, but our friendships are our chosen family. They are the ones that, for many of us, if not most of us, these are the people who are going to outlast even the people that we may end up building our lives with and getting married to or having children with. You know, they are the ones who may be seeing us through multiple transitions in life. They're the ones that we may call at 3 o'clock in the morning to cackle about nothing and everything at the same time, and are there to hold our hands through the most impactful moments of our time, right? Friendships are deeply, deeply important and so deserve focus. And this book, even though it's titled How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, the connotation being romantic, this book is going to be for anybody who is in our intimate circle, along with a scale on how to determine is someone actually best friend material, life partner material, or is this person in the stranger danger category? Is this person extremely dangerous? And we'll be able to literally scale our relationships. Knowing that that is the case and knowing that a lot of people use this podcast not only for romantic partnerships, family relationships, but also friendship, I was thinking about how for many of us, when it comes to us building our friendships, one of the things that happens is we can meet someone who marks all the qualifiers of being someone who's great and happy and healthy, and we have things in common. But we find that the relationship does not take off past a certain point. You know, even if we really connect really well, it doesn't seem to have legs. And it can be very disappointing, especially if this is a really great person. So I've seen this over and over again in multiple different places. And so I thought it would be helpful to share what are four ways or four places that you can tell if the friendship that you have with the other person might be temporary. It is absolutely possible that this friendship is going to last for a lifetime, but sometimes we build friendships in certain seasons and situations, and that's what the friendship was for. And so I'm going to talk about those different scenarios today. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Like I said, even though the somewhere in the title is four ways to tell that the friendship might be temporary or something related to that, that's going to be titled something similar. What I'm about to say, if you were thinking about, hey, this is what me and my best friend connected on, or this is what's going on right now with this person I'm getting really close with, or this is the story of the friend that I've had for the last 20 years, I'm not saying that your friendship is temporary. This is for those of us who, you know, when I talk about love addiction and love avoidance and the trauma that comes with anxious attachments and avoidant attachment style, One of the things that is the common denominator is that fear of abandonment, the feeling of rejection. No matter how hyper-independent you come off, no matter how much you say you don't really need people, especially when listening to a podcast like this, you want to have connection. You want to feel better. You at least want to feel more secure in yourself and to not have be thrown so back and forth about what's going on in your relationships, right? You want to feel loved and you want to be loved. When you get into relationships where you finally start to feel that way and it doesn't take off, or you feel like the person is kind of being iffy with you, it will reinforce those fears of abandonment and rejection, because here it feels like here's another incident of me putting myself out there and this person doesn't want me, or they changed their mind, or now they're flaky. Like, we started off being really cool and now, you know, once people get in there and then they disappear on me, like whatever your trauma story is, people change their mind, I'm not good enough, it's taken away from me, we get into a big fight, you know, whatever it may be. I want to kind of get ahead of any and all of those stories for you to know that maybe it doesn't have to mean that you're being abandoned. Maybe it doesn't mean that you're being rejected. Sometimes we are given great relationships that are meant to last us a lifetime. And sometimes we are given great relationships that are meant to last us a season. And both are amazing gifts. But if we can take the gift and however long the duration of the relationship is and remember it with gratitude, it's going to help us not have a closed heart for future relationships. It's going to help us remember, hey, that person that I was really close to before that I'm no longer close with, instead of me being resentful about it or sad about it or confused about it or personalized that there was something that I could have did differently or he or she or they could have done differently and this is why I can't really trust people, instead of me going there, I remember with gratitude, I'm like, I'm so happy that during this moment in time, through this season, through this experience, I had such a deep and loving friendship. This is evidence that this type of love and companionship exists for me. This is evidence that this type of love and companionship can be that easy, that it can be that kismet, that it can be that energetic. And it was with someone who was healthy too. Like, this relationship was actually not a crash and burn, you know, start off really hot and dissipate, which is part of the reason why I wanted it to stay, which is part of the reason why I'm low-key sad or high-key sad that this person is not in my life as much anymore as I wanted them to be, because it was so good. But I understand that these healthy people do exist. And so I know that I'm going to find the friends or be able to cultivate the friendships that I already have with people who are here for longer than these transitionary periods. Okay. So like I said, in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about four different types of things that you can initially bond with someone on that might be a sign that this friendship is a temporary or transient friendship. Fingers crossed that this is someone who you connect with as we initial bonding. But if this is only what this is, that doesn't mean that all of your relationships will always be one note. It doesn't mean that they will always be just seasonal friendships, that this is actually more of a sign that it can be this good, this rich, this amazing, and only get better from here if you decide to look at it that way, okay? So the first one, I'm just going to jump with the easy pickings, which is shared interests. One of the pieces of advice that's given out all the time for those of us who want to make adult friendships is if you want to meet people, you got to go outside, right? Like, yeah, you can stay inside, but it might be a lot harder. Even if you are someone who is like me, who likes games, video games, and all the things that are online and social media, you still got to connect with people. You still got to send those messages. You got to get on FaceTime or get on the phone, you know, meet up in a cafe if y'all are in person to actually build a real friendship, you know, and talk on the phone and all that other stuff. But let's say you build a shared interest over y'all join an adult kickball league, you know, and every time after y'all get together, and y'all play a game, y'all go have drinks and stuff, and y'all kiki, and y'all have a great time, and it's really awesome. Maybe you connected over an art class. Maybe you connected because you're taking Swahili classes, and, you know, you and her really connected over some friends that y'all have in common and stuff like that. So y'all have a lot in common. You seem like you have a lot of chemistry, and you keep trying to get her, them, him to hang out with you more than that, right? So I have this thing that's going on on my place next week, would you like to come? They may say yes, or they may say, oh my gosh, I have to see. And you do enough invites, you do enough invitations of that, and there's no follow through of it. You find out that they are doing things on the weekends without you. which of course they are, because, you know, we're all adult people, but it's things that maybe y'all have talked about that you're like, man, I would have really liked to come to that. And maybe every once in a while you're like, hey, next time you do something fun like that, let me know. I would love to come. And then come to find out, they really don't invite you to come, right? But y'all still, you don't sense any bad energy. You don't sense any indirect passive aggressive comments or anything. They seem like really cool people. It's just that they don't seem interested or available to hang out with you past that. So what are you going to do in that situation? Like I said at the top, there are going to be some people that we meet that are going to be those that we actually bond over initial interest. And they have multiple signs of availability, which includes initiating and reaching out to you to hang out, which includes checking in on you, which includes they not only enjoy you, but they also want to help you out in your special events. They invite you to be a part of their special events, right? These are literal qualifiers that are in the book, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, right? For you to check off and mark. And so these are the people who will grow to be friends. For those people who don't have those qualifiers, they are not going to be your real true best friends. In the book, one of the different, like I said, that there's an actual scale. One of the categories of a scale is casual acquaintance. Sometimes there are people that we will meet that will seem so amazing and so awesome, and you know that you could be best friends, but for whatever reason, whether or not they are busy, whether or not they are distracted, maybe there's something on their end that they don't feel like is a good fit, but they are not going to show that with you. They don't really want to say it to you. Maybe they're going through their own stuff in the background. They just don't have the capacity to bring on anybody else. You know, maybe they are a master avoidant and they're just really good at being charming and fun and everything. Whatever it is, they are showing you signs that they are only available for casual acquaintance. Friendship or relationship, because that's not friendship. Friendship is mutual. Friendship is giving and taking that happens. So again, you have a decision on what you're going to do. If there are no other, like I said in the book, there are qualifiers of people who are unavailable, which are signs of danger. If none of those exist and they still land in the casual acquaintance category, right? Then you get to decide if I'm going to keep this person to be my volleyball friend. Am I going to keep this person to be just my book club friend? Like, I would love to hang out with her and get drinks outside of it, but she wants to just keep it to a book club. And so can I be in these shared environments with her and enjoy it for everything that it is and not personalize it and say, well, why don't you like me? Like, what's wrong with me? Like, you're rejecting me. And now I feel like I have to defend myself against what feels like a rejection when you don't know what's going on in this person's life. You don't know if she has where they have an abusive ex. And so they are lucky to even see you at this shared environment. So it really has nothing to do with you. You don't know if, you know, they are sober. And so you keep inviting them out to drinks and they don't want to tell everybody that they're sober. And so you think that they are saying no to you because it's about you. Meanwhile, they're hanging out with all these other people, but really it's about they're trying to protect their sobriety, you know? And that's what I mean about the complexity when it comes to building friendships and why I have this podcast, because the stories that we have in our heads, the narratives that we have in our heads are very, 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 very strong. If we are used to people being sometimesy and flaky and here 1 minute and not the next, it's going to be very hard for us to initially be defensive to see what other people do and take offense to it because we feel like we know very clearly why they're doing it. And I've said this before, sometimes, especially for those of us who are very discerning and very intuitive, we can be like, I know because my gut feeling always leads me right. But sometimes our gut feeling is actually our trauma response, which feels very, very similar. It is just as strong. And so I talk about these things on this podcast and I do all this education and I teach the programs that I do and I'm putting out the book that I'm going to be putting out. Because we need something to kind of burst that bubble a little bit. Because sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. And the consequence that happens is if we have someone who would be the best, I play pickleball, someone who would be a great pickleball friend, but because they, you know, aren't available to do things on the outside, now I don't want to go play pickleball anymore. I don't even want to see her face because I invited her to do this and now she's not there. And now when I'm there, I can't even focus on the game because, you know, I don't want to be too warm to her because why would I do that? Because you just kind of played in my face. Meanwhile, again, this person most likely isn't thinking anything about me, right? But it's more about what I feel about myself and what I think about what's going on. Last time I'm saying this, because I've already said it a few times in case you missed it, this is, I'm only saying this if there are actually no signs that this person is predatory, but they are actually mean and insulting you and treating you like you're less than. And if they are kind of doing frenemy stuff, then no, this person is not a casual acquaintance. Like, once you go ahead and do the chart that's in the book, you'll see that a lot of times people who mark off these categories, they're in the dangerous category, but because we click with them in some other areas or we have some things in common, we're trying to look over it, when these are not people that you need to be trying to be friends with, period. And that's why it's not clicking. And so your gut feeling is on point. And maybe you do need to change your boundaries a little bit around that, right? We're getting more to the back to the topic of today's podcast. If you meet someone and you have shared interests, but is not taking off, it might be because, I mean, any number of reasons. I listed like 10 and it could be 30 more, you know? And so you need to decide if you're going to maintain the benefits of what this relationship gives you and letting yourself know that it's okay that some friendships are just going to stay in a certain container. Like, it doesn't mean that they're bad people. It doesn't mean that you're bad people. And it doesn't mean that you can't have other deep friendships, that you have shared interests and y'all invite each other to your family's house and you take trips together and you pray together every Tuesday night. Like, you can have those friendships and just have the one note friendships as well, where y'all just do a shared activity together, and that's okay. Can you forgive them for not being available? It's a really big question. Can you forgive them and let them surrender and let go and let them live the life they want to and let it not be about you? That's the first category. Second category is shared trauma. Sometimes we will meet someone and connect with them because in our get to know you conversations, they lost a mom the same way I lost my mom. They were hurt in the same way that I was hurt. They went through this tragedy just like I went through this tragedy. They grew up in this neighborhood or this setting that was really dangerous and really chaotic, and so did I. They were a victim of racial trauma, and so was I in this way. They grew up being the Black girl who wasn't Black enough, and so was I. You know, like, you might have all these shared experiences that are very emotionally heavy and emotionally triggering. Because of the intensity of that, and you're able to share and connect and say, yeah, me too. Like, it just feels like it is kismet. Again, it feels like it is something that means that y'all are kind of meant to be, that you get each other. And you might get each other, but do you have anything in common outside of that? Do you actually have shared interests? Do you actually have the same personality? Do you have the same energy levels? Or do you just have the same trauma background? Is it possible that a point of you meeting each other and having each other is because sometimes what your friendship is supposed to be is checking in with each other when things are hard, right? And not really anything more than that. I've noticed that sometimes what happens is you can meet someone, especially in spaces like this, let me just be honest, in spaces like this with other people who are self-aware and want to heal and want to have good relationships. You know, there's so much information out there, especially for those of us who are of a certain age, about being intentional, about making adult friendships and putting yourself out there. So let's say you meet someone, you have a shared background in history, you know, y'all both click, girl, you're avoidant, or you're anxious, I've been anxious too, yeah. You know, like talking about that, but you don't really have a lot of the other stuff in common. Right? Like, they're cool people, that you know they're cool people, they know you're cool people. So you try to hang out. You try to do the coffee thing, you try to do the dinner thing. And y'all both have home training. So you're able to have conversations, but it doesn't click. It just doesn't feel smooth. It's because there are some people that, yeah, y'all might have a lot of common. Y'all might be the same, you know, level of maybe maturity or have the same emotional regulation skills that y'all can like trade back and forth and everything. But are they actually someone who is meant to be your close friend? Are they someone who's going to want to turn up the way that you want to turn up, how you want to turn up, and as often as you want to turn up? Do you even like to turn up? Right. You know, is this person actually your people? On the availability checklist, having fun the way you like to have fun is also literally one of the categories for you to assess whether or not this person is a good fit for you. And also, again, if you enjoy just their company and if they enjoy yours, you know, so many of us who will spend time with people out of obligation, out of loneliness, or out of this very tried and true habit of trying to make something work. We learned as little girls in our trauma that even when someone isn't doing something you want them to do or showing up the way that you need them to, you have perfected the art of making whatever is in front of you work. And some of us need to let go of people, friendships, relationships with people who are good enough, but quite not quite it, you know? For my recovery school program, which is my main coaching program, I would do open houses a lot. And even in the master classes, might actually still be in one of the few master classes. But I would show the profiles of the different people who would join the program that I would, that I teach, that I coached. And one of the profiles, I would have a lot of women who joined working with me who were introverts. So I'll show like the typical schedule of an introvert before we started working together. And I would show that a lot of times the introverted women that I would work with, it's not even that they wouldn't have any social time, but it's that the social time that they would have would be with people that they really just didn't like. And it doesn't mean that they're mean people, but it wasn't people that they really felt like they had a lot of stuff in common with, but they would go because they've heard, I have to be social. I have to go out there to make friends. You know, I've been in the house for so long. Let me go ahead and put myself out there and try. Or they would have a lot of social time with their friend, with their family, you know, and it, maybe their family wasn't that healthy, but again, they're trying to put themselves out there because being alone all the time, even though it's rejuvenating, they know they want connection and community. I just don't believe that we have to be around people and be in situations and settings where we're not having fun. I feel like fun is a basic need that many of us, especially those of us with trauma, it was not emphasized as a child. Like some teachers and healers talk about it as the ability to play, right? I'm just going to say have fun. Let's just keep it simple. You having fun in your everyday life is important. It is an important part of self-care. When I meet women who are really self-aware and already have really good or what they feel like are self-care routines, and I'm asking them what they do for themselves every day, and they tell me, Alexa, what do you do? And they might list, well, yeah, I work out all the time and I do all this stuff. And I was like, okay, so what do you do for fun? And they get stumped. Because they understand, like, I know that there are some people who will say, well, you know, working out is fun. But the women that I'm talking with, they understand that them working out is a task for them to maintain their body. It is not something that makes them giggle when they go and do it. It is not something that makes them want to kick their feet up when they think about, you know, coming home to do it when they get home. Like, that connection to joy and pleasure is not something that we are trained with, given to, encouraged to have, but taught about, pointed out to for many of us. And for some of us who have cultivated it, sometimes it's an excess. Like we are so geared towards the hedonism of it all. You know, we are like, I'm going to go straight for pleasure and at the consequences. And so we kind of have to scale that back. But for the most part, I'm helping women learn how to tune into their pleasure. So connecting that back to the point of this, is if I'm connecting with someone based on our past stories and our traumas and all this other stuff, but when we get together, it's kind of dull and it's kind of boring. And it's not because I'm not used to, you know, being with healthy and available people. It's just that we don't really have that much in common. It's okay for me to call that what it is. It's okay to say, okay, well, this is a person that I'm only going to hang out with or talk with when I want to connect in this way. But because I'm healthy and available, I'm not just going to use her as an emotional dumping ground. Like I'm going to check in on her. She's going to check in with me. We might even decide to be accountability partners for depending on whatever our therapeutic goals or whatever is. Or, you know, we can reach out and share a quote that our therapist told us or something from scripture. That's our thing. You know, like that doesn't mean with all these, for the most part, I believe I'm going to talk about the middle ground. I'm going to talk about instead of us saying, okay, this person who I have to share thing with, I want them to be my best friend. But that doesn't happen. Do I need to cut them off? No, we can be in the middle. We can have a relationship that sits in this really beautiful balance between the benefits that it gives us, but also being very aware that it can't give us everything and that's okay. Okay. The third way. And if y'all are liking this episode, make sure y'all let me know. Leave a comment, send me a DM, share a story, you know, share the post on your social media. Let me know what you're taking from this episode and how it's been helpful for you.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Attention, attention to all my fellow book nerds. I have the perfect book for you to cozy up to this holiday season. It's got Black love and romance, love triangles, themes of family, and finding yourself. And it's all set to the backdrop of 1910 Chicago, featuring the connections between a wealthy Black family. The Davenport's More Than This is the highly anticipated sequel to the instant New York Times bestseller, following four empowered young and passionate Black women as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and love. NBC's Today says the Davenport's by Crystal Marquise is the perfect read for fans of escapist historical fiction. And Ebony Magazine says the Davenport's has it all: romance, heartbreak, courage. And what makes it so intriguing is that it is inspired by the real daughters of automobile magnate C.R. Patterson. Marquise's extensive research allows readers to dive into the world of Black excellence in the 1900s, from his grand estates to the glamorous ball gowns. Again, if you're looking for something to add to your to-read list, both of these books are it. Buy your copies of The Davenports and their sequel, More Than This, wherever books are sold. Ever feel like you are too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Everything is pre-measured, pre-portioned, and easy to prepare. Plus, Sunbasket meals are dietitian approved, so you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table. Sunbasket makes it so easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. And you've already heard me share my personal love for the hearty portions that made sure I left each Sunbasket meal feeling full and satisfied. There is something for every health journey, and it's so easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. So go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. So we already know that we're living in a world where there are so many things that can interrupt our health and hormones. With there being thousands of hormone disruptors in our environment, with everything from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, it is even more important that we keep our bodies regulated internally. When we can help our natural hormone processes, like the symptoms of our monthly cycles, perimenopause, and menopause, find relief and ease with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony's formula is made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Using science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressor and hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Some symptoms may include PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and loss of interest in intimacy. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. Happy Mammoths, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today. The third way that you might be connected to someone and it has the potential of being a temporary friendship or a seasonal friendship is if you are in a forced environment together. So if you bought in a forced environment, I have said this before, but one example that I give often is work friendships. We have shifted into a time, especially if you live here in the States, where there are not any third spaces. I believe that's the right term. Third spaces are places that you go to hang out with folks in your neighborhood and your community to just rest and relax and all that stuff. When you look at other countries, you know, a lot of times people point to places in Europe, is that there are parks on every single corner. There are cafes and open plazas and centers where just kids are running around. people are sitting down, people are people watching, people are reading books, and these are the shared spaces that people go to get to know each other and meet folks. Here, especially in the States, and especially if you're in a city like I am, like Houston, which isn't very walkable at all, you know, there aren't really many shared spaces or places to go. There are, but you got to drive to get there. But for the most part, the places we go are work and home. We go to work and home. So work becomes the place for many of us where, and we're spending so many hours there. So work kind of becomes our community space for many of us. Some of us have really good boundaries about it, but some of us, like, it does become a source for friendship. It does become a source of a place that you kind of look for camaraderie and rest and relax. You find your besties, right? So you're spending 40 plus hours a week with most of these people, right? So you're getting to know them. You're getting to know their mama's name. You're getting to know their spouses. You're getting to know what's going on at home with them. Y'all are connecting over the coworkers that you like and the coworkers that you don't like. Y'all are connecting after feedback sessions and deep meetings and commiserating together, celebrating together. Like, you build really intimate connections there, but it is in a forced environment. It is in a forced environment. You don't know. So what happens when you try to be friends with someone outside of work and they're not available to hang out? Sometimes what I've seen happens is when you have someone who you have a deep work relationship with, while you're working there, maybe y'all do hang out. Y'all go to each other's baby showers, you do whatever else. But once one of you quits, leaves, gets fired, whatever else, then all that stuff stops. It's heartbreaking. You don't understand that this is just a relationship that is functional for the environment that we're in. You might think, oh, this is someone who we've been close for years. And so once that's over, it's like, what happened? Talk about abandonment. Talk about rejection. Talk about you giving everything to someone only for them to not be available for you on the other side of it. That is super hard. That is devastating, right? Some of us may be very much relating to this and reeling from it. I know for me, the way it happened for me is I got promoted into a level of leadership. And I wasn't even really over people that I was close friends with, but it was just a different level. And then things stopped. You know, the invites weren't really there. When we did talk, the fluidity that we used to have conversations with wasn't there anymore. And so that was very heartbreaking. You know, I hear all the time about you have friendships with people at work. You have all this trust with them. And then when it comes time for them to save their skin, this person that you thought you were ride or dies with and that you were in it in the struggle with throw you under the bus. They will turn you in. They will, like I said, they don't know you. Again, another level of betrayal. I have always, anytime I've talked about work relationships, I haven't talked about work relationships in a long time. But anytime I talk about work relationships, I am more negative about it. I will tell people, I will remind them that this friendship that you have with this person is work. It is work. And that this should not be your main source of camaraderie and friendship. This is very, very hard if you're someone who works at 8 to 9 hour a day and have a 1 hour commute back and forth. When are you going to find the time and energy to connect with other people? I get that. I hear that. And we could talk about that on another episode. But for now, for the reasons that I've already kind of listed for this point, and then also the two other points, sometimes when you're in a forced section, a forced environment with someone, that is the reason why you have it. Other examples, if you've ever been incarcerated. Other examples, if you've ever been, y'all, I'm going to be real, real here. If you ever been in a religious environment too, tell me if anyone can relate to the experience. If you go to a church that you love, right? You serve it on ministry. You're in small groups together. You're in Bible study. These people have prayed you through everything. They may have, you know, helped y'all through some really hard times. You've helped them through hard times. You have watched their children grow up. They watched your children grow up. Y'all know each other's second grade auntie's names, right? What happens when there is a church scandal? What happens when you decide that you want to leave that church community? What happens when there is a he says, she says situation? Has anyone been rejected by this religious environment, this holy community that you felt and you knew was deeper than blood because of what you were connected with, because you were connected in spirit, only to find that that was not the case, right? So I know that that is like a really deep thing to say, but I know that that is a source of so much religious trauma and heartbreak and betrayal trauma by so many people listening, right? And so my point is that some of these places, they will be real places that we find friendships that once I leave that church, we're still friends, right? But they are not going to judge me and say that they can't talk to me or think less of me. They're not going to choose one side over the other. But sometimes there will be some relationships where it will be confined to that environment, that we were best friends while I worked there, but outside of that, we are not. So for this situation, the only reason I'm going to give a caveat here and probably a little bit more empathy around the heartbreak around it is because I know that when the friendships come from forced environments like this, like it's not like I said, a pickleball game that lasts maybe 2 hours every couple of weeks, right? But these are people that you're literally living with 40 plus hours a week when it comes to work. Depending on your level of involvement in your religious community, it's like maybe 10 to 20 hours, plus the fact that you're talking, like you're actively talking about the most intimate details, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your sins, right? And you're getting deeply emotionally intertwined with these folks, right? So with those situations, if or when these relationships fracture or they dissipate or they kind of start to ghost, I really do want to validate the grief and the mourning that happens with that. That it could be very hard to look back at that with a positive spin and a positive point of view and be like, well, you know, here's the gift that I got from that. I'm so happy I got that gift. Because no, like you were my family. Like you were family for me more than anybody else was family for me. And you left me. You abandoned me. You kicked me to the curb. You didn't even give me a chance to explain. You didn't try to explain yourself. Like you didn't even give me the common courtesy of telling me the truth or telling me goodbye or whatever it is, or telling me this is the reason why we can't talk anymore. You know, like that is very, very hard. Hard is probably not a strong enough word for that, right? And so I really want to validate the need to have grief and to work through the feelings of that and take as long as you need to do that. And my hope, especially if you're listening to this podcast either before this happens or after it happens, if this resonates with you and me putting into words what that experience might have been like for you, I hope that down the line you are able to take the gifts of that experience so that you can still be open to gifts like that in the future. Because as devastating as the end has been, was, you know, will be maybe for those of us who might go through this in the future, during the time that we had that, we grew. We grew, we healed, we laughed, right? We connected, we loved, we were loved, right? And those were real things that happened in that moment. And they were things that we needed in that moment, and they were ours, and they still are ours, those feelings and those emotions. So can I take those memories and those experiences with gratitude and use those as examples of what I want in the future, but then add to my prayer, if we are spiritual or religious people, that I want those type of friendships, but I want them to last. I want these types of friendships, but that they're not temporary. And please help me find the people that I can grow and build roots with so that these do last forever. Okay. The last way that we can tell to see if a friendship is temporary or transient is if we are connecting with them related to a transitionary period, through a transition period. I don't know what transitionary, that is not a word. Through a transitional, right? Is that the word I was looking for? Through a transitional period. Okay, so this might seem like it's related to the trauma section, but it's not, because this could be a transitional period that is very joyful. So did I connect with this person over our shared experience of our kids being in school together? So we connected at a mommy group, and that is what we've had in common. Our kids were the same age. Did we connect because we did start this new job together, right? Or we went to a certification class together and we are starting in a new chapter of our lives. Maybe I joined a business group coaching program, right? And I met other entrepreneurs who are in the same stage that I am. And so we were connecting over that. Maybe it is something that is a little bit more heavy, like divorce. I met someone else who's another divorcee. Maybe I met someone at a caregiver's support group or someone else who's taking care of adult parents who are no longer good, you know, but I connected with this person because we're transitioning, we're growing. I met another woman who's also in her self-healing era, right? Who's also in her me era. She's in her soft life era. We're digging into this feminine energy stuff together, right? But similar to all the other things that I've listed for today's podcast, this is the main thing that we have in common, is one thing to look out for. Or if and when you try to bridge the gap and build relationship with this person outside of it, they are not available. So at this mommy and me group, we can keep it cute and keep it light while we're here together. We might even trade information, but when I try to send her text or send them text later, they take forever to respond, right? We say, yo, we should totally go get coffee after the next thing that happens. But next time I see them at the next event, they are not as, I don't want to say happy to see you, but they might say hi, but they're not like having conversation with you as much as they were before. And you might get the gist that maybe it's because they actually don't want to have coffee. Like instinctually say, yeah, totally, let's do it. But then because they knew you would probably follow up on it next time, then they decided not to. I'm really a big proponent of asking people to, you know, kind of one of the things I've been alluding to, if I didn't say it directly, is we can get in a lot of trouble when we live in our heads. So we might think we see them at the next event and they're not talking to us. Like, you remember I said it on this podcast. You're like, Sheena said it. If they're avoiding talking to me, that means they don't want to hang out with me, right? So you're like, that's what this is. Meanwhile, this girl just went through the most horrible tantrum with her 2-year-old before she got here, and then had her 6-year-old throw up in the car. And then she started her period and she don't want to be there at all. It has nothing to do with you. And that's why she might not want to talk to anyone or talk to you, or she might not want to do coffee, but not because of you, right? So I'm a big proponent of asking people questions. Hey, when this happened, did you still want to do this or did you not want to do it? Like, I just wanted to make sure, you know, and get that information. Ooh, I started to make this a bonus episode. Okay, I'm going to share this. I hope it doesn't ruin the vibe of what I'm about to say. And by ruining the vibe, I mean take away from the main point of what I'm talking about, because I want us to, even though I'm talking about friendships that might be temporary in nature, my hope is that you're able to take positive slant from this, because I want y'all to know that even if a friendship or relationship is temporary, it doesn't mean that it wasn't good. It doesn't mean that it isn't still good if it's still exist. If it's something that is not going to be as big and as deep as you wanted it to be, it doesn't mean that this still doesn't have value and that it wouldn't be worth you investing in it when you have access to it, right? If you're just going to be my skating rink friend, then every time I see you when we go skate on open nights on Wednesdays, then we're going to kiki and laugh and, you know, drink our shaved ice drinks. And then we're going to say goodbye at 9:00, you know, and I'm going to be okay with that because I'm going to laugh and have the best time while I'm there, right? Like, I want this to be very positive. But let's say you take that last point that I had where I was like, okay, I'm really big about asking questions, getting clarity. It's called checking the facts. Check the facts to see if what you think is happening is actually happening. And there's a whole way to do it, a way to do it without it being accusatory, but just for simplicity, so it doesn't go too long, just ask them, hey, when this happened, is this what was happening? Or tell me more. Why didn't you call me back? Like, don't even put in what you think happened. Just say, oh, why? We thought we were going to go hang out. What happened? Just ask the question. If there is ever a situation, though, where you're like, you decide to ask, have I done something that offends you? Is there something that I've done or something, you know, like you're asking that question, you need to be prepared to receive whatever answer is given. Because maybe you did it, hon. Maybe you did do something that was hurtful or offensive. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that this person doesn't like you or that is ungrateful or that whatever else. But it could mean that there was something that slighted them and you asked for the feedback. And so now it's up for you to take it and decide what you're going to do with it. You may take the feedback and be like, okay, I see why she said that, but I don't think that that's real, and decide to not receive it. You could take it and be like, damn, ouch, that stings. And at first we're like, you know, forget her. But then after a while you sit with it and you're like, okay, let me ask other people if they've ever had this experience, or maybe I don't need to ask other people because I can kind of see where this is coming from. You know, it's kind of stung, but I'm gonna take it in. sometimes it's just new information that no one has told you before. And so there's not really anyone for you to check it with, you know? And sometimes you ask someone that you thought was healthy and available, but they've been someone who actually hasn't liked you this whole time, and that's what's been going on. And so you gave them an in to tell you about yourselves, and they did, but now your feelings are hurt. And so you got to talk about it with your therapist and your friends to get out all that negative energy. Like, it could be any of those things. But the reason why I say you need to be prepared to take it is because sometimes we ask questions to people expecting them to kind of be fluffy and to tell us nice things and to say, no, everything is fine. Like, it's a courtesy question. I learned a long time ago to not ask questions that I do not want the answer to. If I am not prepared for you to tell me something that is less than favorable, like if I'm not ready in my spirit to receive critical feedback, I'm not going to proactively ask for it. If I am ready for that kind of feedback, but I know I'm still feeling sensitive, I'm going to say, hey, was there something that I've done that offends you? And if so, please tell me, but just know I'm a little bit sensitive. So if you can't tell me in a tactful way, I've said that to people who I'm very close friends with, who know I can be sensitive. I don't go out to strangers being like, hey, if I did something that hurt your feelings, tell me, but be nice to me when you tell me. Like, that might not fit. But I hope y'all get what I'm saying. Like, I've had a recent incident with someone who literally asked me, have I done something that offended you? Asked me twice. And I try to go around it because I'm like, y'all, is Mercury retrograde? You know, what I have to say might be a little bit sensitive. But I told them, and the thing that I told them was actually something that I feel like they needed help with because of other things in their life. I just felt like they really weren't aware of it, but it struck a chord with them. And they felt like I was telling them that they're not good enough and they weren't open to hearing me. Like, I apologized multiple times and I was like, that's not what I meant. And this is what I said. And they like rushed away. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, you asked me multiple times, even when I was trying to not say that to you, like, you asked me. And something that I've also had to learn and that I'm learning is that I cannot be in control of other people's responses as well. The only thing I can do is to be as open as I can when it comes to communicating things. And sometimes we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Sometimes I can feel like my feedback is reasonable and they can feel like my feedback is BS and uncalled for and wrong and vice versa. And that has to be okay. And that's very hard for someone like me who is not only a recovering people pleaser, but someone who is still trying to learn how to believe that you cannot get everybody in the world to like you. Like, hi, your girl is going to be 40 on December 7th. I haven't been talking about my birthday as late as much as I have in previous years on the podcast, but I'm about to be 40. And I'm still, there's a part of me that's still, for some people in some relationships, the sticking point is like, how can I say this or phrase this to make sure that the relationship stays kosher? And for some folks in some places, it wasn't supposed to be kosher and it's not going to be kosher. And I hate that because I want everything to be love and joy and rainbows with everybody, even if we're not friends. Like, I just don't want there to be beef. So that's still a hard pill for me to swallow. And once I figure out the magic cure to work through that, or maybe like the wisdom and the experience that happens when you're in your 40s, where you just don't care. Maybe when midnight comes, I'll be like, ah, I figured it out. So let me go and tell everybody else. Everybody else who's still figuring it out, who didn't come into this world as someone who's like, I couldn't give a care what people say. I love y'all. I've said that before in the podcast. I just want to be around you and like suck up that energy. Cause I'm like, oh really? You could think that way? You can feel that way fully? Girl, please, please give me some of that. But anyways, that's today's episode. Like I said, I hope that didn't take too much away from the main point. But yes, the friendship that you have, if you are still in relationship with someone who you might have bonded over one of these potentially temporary things, you wanted to build a deeper friendship with them. It has not taken off like you wanted it to, but when you are together, it's still fun, it's still lively, it's still supportive, it's still enriching. Use the friendship for what it is, you know, and be okay with that. And then if there ever is reciprocation on the other side, then great, allow it to grow. It's an answer to a prayer, right? Like this person that you already had this great foundation with, and now we can take it deeper. And for those people who it isn't going deeper, stop trying to make it work. Stop trying to make fence happen for my mean girlfriends. Stop trying to push a relationship, because then it's just going to get awkward. And you're going to be resentful. They're going to be resentful. Then they really will stop responding to you and stop hanging out with you during the amount of times that you did, because there is pressure now. There is force. It's not as simple and organic and fun as it was before, because maybe they see that you don't really match on some levels, even though you really want to, right? So, and that's okay. It is okay. So that's it for today's episode. I can't wait for this book to come out. This episode is sponsored and inspired by the How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts book by Sheena Lachey. You'll be able to get it on Amazon by the time this episode comes out. It may already be out or on its way out. For anyone who has pre-ordered the book, thank you so much. You can find that in case the book is not officially out yet. You can pre-order your book at blackgirlsheal.org/books. You will get a signed copy of the book. How to Pick Partners is one of the books, and the other book is the No Contact book, which I have been writing. And y'all, that was going to be a beast. That is the one that I'm like, I mean, the How to Pick Partners book is already really extensive, but the No Contact book, y'all ain't ready. If y'all liked the episodes that I put out on the No Contact process, this book is going to be like, you're going to sleep with it under your pillow. Like, you're just going to cuddle with it. So I can't wait to get both of these books out for you. All right, that's it. See y'all later. As always, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, and the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
This holiday season, recharge with the Planet Fitness Black Card for just $1 down and $24.99 a month. So instead of fighting a stranger in the mall over a stuffed T-Rex, bring a friend for free and work out on the TRX. Instead of freezing in line for a lame holiday deal, relax in the Black Card spa with some hydro massage feels. Instead of being trapped at your in-laws, escape to any of our 2,600 Planet Fitness locations. Sign up today for the Planet Fitness Black Card. Just $1 down and $24.99 a month. Deal ends Friday, December 6th. See club for details.